See TracksThinkTrain.org.
News Talk 1490 WERE, Cleveland Heights, WZAK HD3, Cleveland. This is a paid program brought to you by Cleveland Clergy Coalition. The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station or its management.
Be Monday at 5 o'clock because of issues of people in the community is on here in Cleveland, Ohio. We welcome all of our listeners to the one of the greatest news information shows in the city of Cleveland. The people, the issues in the community with Pastor Aaron Phillips, sponsored by the Cleveland Clergy Coalition. We're waging war every Monday at 5 o'clock, really every day, but on Monday our battleground is right here on the radio airwaves, 1490 AM. Thank you for listening. You can give us a call today, 216-578-1490. That's 216-578-1490. It's always just a privilege to be anywhere. But thank God for you being here and listening to us today on this fourth Monday in the city. Fourth Monday in January is what it's called. I apologize. Fourth Monday in January. So thank God for you tuning in today. And I am, as you know, Pastor Aaron Phillips. I'm the senior pastor of the Sure House Baptist Church Ministries, located 1318 Miles Avenue, 1318 Miles Avenue in Cleveland, Ohio. We have worship service every Sunday morning at 9 a.m., and we say that's the church of the people. So we want to invite you to come. If you're looking for a church home, want to come by and visit. Well, as I said yesterday, this coming Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday. We're one of the best churches you can come to on Super Bowl Sunday because we start so early at 9 o'clock. We'll be out of church by 11. You have plenty of time to get ready for the Super Bowl. So we really appreciate you coming by and spending time with us on next Sunday or any Sunday that's coming to share at Sure House Baptist Church, 11318 Miles Avenue. Listen, we are on the air. We have some special guests coming today and some hot topics that we want to talk about. And I don't know if you've been hearing about the issue of city council reducing their pay and reducing their the numbers. That's, you might want to talk about that. We've talked about that a little bit on our radio broadcast. What we try to do and like to do today on the fourth Monday as we wrap up the month, to kind of wrap up all the issues and things that we've talked about this month, and you may want to respond to that. I want to give you an opportunity to do that at 216-578-1490, 216-578-1490. If there's something you want to call in, talk about today as we wrap up this first month of the new year, we want to maybe talk about that. Give us a call. We want to share your thoughts and what's happening in the city of Cleveland as we get ready for an election. The primary election is coming up in March. Want to make sure that you get out to vote and make sure that you have checked your registration. If you didn't vote last year, make sure you check your registration for certain. Make sure that you did not get purged or removed from the voter rolls. Or if you changed your location, if you moved, you need to also then update your information with the Board of Elections for voting purposes. So we want to encourage you to do that. We're trying to put a plan together where we are going to church to just have everybody check up on their voter registration. But now it's very easy to do. You can go to the website, the Cuyahoga County Board of Elections, and you can actually follow the steps on the website to tell you to check your registration. You can do that yourself, or we can help you do that. You can give us a call. We can help you do that. We want to make sure that you're registered and you're good to go for voting, because voting starts on February the 17th. And after February 17th, you can't register anymore to vote in the primary election. You can register for the general, but you would be missing out. So we want to make sure by February 17th that you have checked up on your voter registration so you can be prepared. And then once you move to voter registration, we have to move to voter education. So one of the things that we do on this broadcast is provide information regarding voting. And we want to make sure that you know who are the people and what are the issues that are concerning the people, so that you can be prepared to vote. We want you to be an informed voter. So once you are registered, then we move to education. Then from education, we move to mobilization, where we are going to make sure that you get to vote. And we are planning on doing Sunday voting, so we're asking pastors and leaders all across the Cuyahoga County to come and do Sunday voting again. That's the Sunday right before the election. That'll be March the 15th, and we call that Souls to the Polls. And we want to encourage people to come vote on that Sunday. In particular, we're asking the church folks to come, get on some vans and cars, and come down to a festive event down to Board of Elections so we can vote and inspire people. Also, you may vote prior to the Sunday. I know my mentor, he votes by mail way early. As soon as the ballots are ready to go, he's sending out his thing. He's voting right away. So even if you have voted, we want you to come to help inspire other people in our community to vote, because we've had very, very low turnouts in these last couple of elections. So we want to do all that we can to inspire, encourage, and mobilize people to vote. And one of those ways we can do that is by coming on Sunday, March 15th, and letting the world know, letting all folks in Cuyahoga County, how important it is for us to get out and vote. So make sure you do that as we're preparing for this election. It's 2020. It's hard to believe, but we're here. We've had 4 years of our current president, and we're getting ready to vote again for a new president. And maybe we'll get a new one, maybe we won't, but what we do want to make sure, and this is so important, because as we focus in on the presidential election and the national campaign, we really have to also, to me, I think it's more important for us to be engaged with our local politics and our local elected officials. That's where the rubber meets the road. So we want to encourage you to help us with that and help us make sure that we are getting out and encouraging folks all across our community to get out and vote this year. We want to raise that number up if we can just raise it by 5%, we'd be doing a great thing. But we got to make sure we are encouraging, registering, educating, and then mobilizing people to vote. All right, you can give us a call today, 216-578-1490, 216-578-1490 is the call-in number, and make sure that you can give us your opinion on what's happening, what you feel about particular things that we talked about on our broadcast this month. I remember last week we've had Bishop Tony Miner from Community of Faith Church, who had an actual experience with Dr. King, and that was just so good. You may want to comment on that, or various subjects that we had. We had Gabriella Rosalina on this month. You want to comment about that or talk about some economic developments. Whatever is on your mind, please give us a call, 216-578-1490. Let me hurry and pause here and say a special prayer. Our prayers and thoughts go out to the Kobe Bryant family. What a horrible, horrible, shocking tragedy. What a great loss of just a great man, great young man, 41 years old, certainly left here too young and too soon. And him and his daughter and all the other seven passengers who was on that helicopter, our prayers and our thoughts go out to the Bryant family, and we're going to miss him. Kobe Bryant was a champion not only on the court, but he was also a champion off the court. And so we really, just so sad I, of course, didn't know him personally, just known him by television. And I have always been so impressed with him. And he's one of those few athletes that spoke to the issues of the day. He did not hide and run from who he was. And he spoke up when he was supposed to speak up as an athlete to give comments and advice and his opinion about things that are happening in our society. So God bless you, Kobe Bryant, and thank you for being here. And we certainly are going to miss you. And let's keep him and keep his family in our prayers. I heard someone say today, you know, we'll just pray that they get over that, get through that. I don't know if you ever can get through that, but we know we can be praying and thank God for God being God. Those are those moments that we need Jesus Christ in our life. And it's just so sad. I'm a big, very emotional person. So I was crying already. And I tell you, and I didn't even know him, but it's always good to hear from our own LeBron James, who had very, you know, very great things to say about it. And we just need to just pause and say, let's keep that family in our prayers, and let's make sure that we keep that, keep our thoughts with the rest of those folks who survived, who was tragically died yesterday. All right, so keep that. You may want to comment about that. Please feel free to call 216-578-1490. We just have Shante Lewis Gibson just walked in. Hi. How you doing, Shante?
Hi, everyone.
All right, and she's on watching
Happy
us on Facebook.
Again.
On Facebook. Then we are going to have Job Seeker Tuesday. We can pause and do that right quick before the first break. Tell everybody about Job Seeker Tuesday, Shante.
So Job Seeker Tuesday is going to be held tomorrow, Tuesday the 28th, at 11318 Miles Avenue. 44105 is the zip. And get there between 6 and 7:30 so that we can get you to work.
Now, what jobs are we featuring tomorrow?
We are featuring NSA, that's National Safety Apparel. It's a manufacturing organization on the Industrial Parkway just off West 150th Street. And then we are also featuring First Energy's PSI program that is going to begin August 2020. We're not sure which day, but so this August. But we need you guys to get over so that we can get you all the information. And we'll see you.
All right. So if you are interested, if you're looking for a job, we're back to having our weekly job fair. We call it Job Seeker Tuesday. We always have jobs available. People always call them. I just got a call today about the construction jobs. That class has started, but we're getting people signed up for the next class, and it's going very well. We've had, I think we're in the third week of the class at Tri-C with the pre-apprenticeship for the homes, so home builders for San Pietro. So we are doing very well with that, but we want to make sure that we are always recruiting people because if you didn't know, I mean, the economy is doing good, and there are more jobs than there are people. Mm-hmm. And so we are wanting to recruit people. If you're saying you can't find no work, we have a heap of work for you to come and get. Yes. So this from manufacturing jobs to jobs with First Energy and also
Contact Center.
With First
can
Energy.
I mention that as well?
Yes, sure.
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. You have to wait because here comes the music.
I'll get you.
So we're
going
to come back. You're listening to The Issues of People in the Community. I'm your host, Pastor Aaron Phillips, and I have Shante Lewis Gibson inside the studio with me right there. All right, in the Cleveland Clergy Coalition, as we are doing the work of the kingdom, and we're fighting a battle right here every Monday on these airwaves. Give us a call, 216-578-1490, 216-578-1490.
We're taking territory, fighting unseen enemies like never before. We're waging war.
Anoint my head,
oh, yeah.
Anoint my feet,
celebrating God.
Jim at a party.
Hi there.
This is Jim watching his favorite horror movie.
Hi there.
And this is Jim driving his car.
Dude, not hi there.
Good decision. Jim knows that if you feel different, you drive different. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Everything you need to know about Cleveland sports, news, weather, and more is at NewsTalkCleveland.com. For instant updates, follow us on Facebook at NewsTalk1490 and on Twitter at NewsTalk1490.
You're never completely ready to adopt a teen.
For late nights writing English papers.
For your teen's music taste.
For dinners, where they talk more on their phone than with you.
For the first time, they call you mom.
You're never completely ready to adopt a teen, and you can't imagine the reward.
To learn more about adopting a teen, visit AdoptUSKids.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Tea and Honey with Dr. Gwen Jarvis. I was born, raised, and educated locally. Weekly to bring tea leaves of my own experience, talents, and training as bold and boundless as a butterfly to enlighten, inspire, and uplift our community and beyond. With stems on education, health, community, civic, spiritual, and the joys of life. Thursdays, 5 p.m., WERE, 1490 a.m. Join me for tea.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 30 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Reverend Al Sharpton, host of Keeping It Real with Al Sharpton. What you get on my show is real, plain, and simple. You get the truth. You get the facts. I'm here. I'll always be here. And I'll always keep it real. We keep it real. We keep it real. We keep it real.
Keeping It Real with the Reverend Al Sharpton. Weekdays 1 till 4 p.m. on the People's Station. News Talk 1490 WERE. And streaming live on the new BlackPlanetRadio.com.
Sometimes we forget that the funeral is for the living. It is the last visible viewing and celebration. But for those of us in the industry, it is a time for our experience and excellence to shine. At R.A. Prince Funeral Services, our expertise in different cultures, economics, and family blend makes us stand out in helping to meet the trust and faith you have placed in our hands. We know it is paramount for us to ease the burden and release the pressure of this time of need. Let R.A. Prince Funeral Services meet with you and take the worry out. Call us at 216-518-1777. That is 216-518-1777. R.A. Prince Funeral Services, for such a time as this.
We're back. Issues of People in the Community with your host. That's me, Pastor Aaron Phillips, the Executive Director of the Cleveland Clergy Coalition, which is an amalgamation of all of the African American churches here in the city of Cleveland. I'm sorry, African American clergy groups in the city of Cleveland. And I also have the proud privilege to be the Senior Pastor of Sure House Baptist Church, located at 1318 Miles Avenue, and we're there every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. We have a fantastic worship service, and I'd love for you to come and be a part. We are also on Facebook at 9 o'clock on Sundays live with our worship service, and you're welcome to join us by that way. If you can't get to the church physically, and chiefly, hopefully, you can't get there because you don't live in the city of Cleveland. But we prefer, if you live in the city of Cleveland, to come on and join us and worship me, have you come there physically. All right? All right. Now, we're going to go right back to our subject that Shante took off for a moment because he's getting one of our guests. But tomorrow we are going to have job opportunities available to share with folks. We need you to come in, fill out an application. We can tell you about the nature of the job and how much you're going to be paid. And even if you need transportation, see if we'll make sure that we can get you to the job. So it's very, very important that you come by 11318 Miles Avenue on tomorrow at 6, between 6 and 7:30 for Job Seeker Tuesday. And maybe we should text our guest, Shante, text
him.
All right, to see.
He was here, but he wasn't.
So we'll wait on him, but we can still move on because I want to talk a little bit about, I don't know if anyone seen the article in yesterday's paper regarding the reduction of city council and reducing their pay. And we have said, I've long said, as far as myself personally and the Cleveland Clergy Coalition, we would never be for reducing anybody's pay. That's always out of order, too, as far as I'm concerned. So we don't want to reduce their pay, nor do we want to reduce the number of council members. But we don't want to have this fight either. And I will tell you what we don't. We want to make sure that our city council persons all across the city are accountable to their constituency. In Ward 2, where our church is, and I live in the city of Cleveland, as well, and so where Ward 2 is, our councilman is now Kevin Bishop, and our council before, and before that was Councilman Zach Reed. Both were very, very responsive to us, and I appreciate that and their accountability. I consider my other councilman is Joe Jones, who is extremely proactive and not only taking care of Ward 1, but if there's a problem in the city, you can guarantee that that Joe Jones is going to be on top of that. So we really appreciate that. And I am joined now with one of our guests, and we're going to get back to that. But if you want to talk about the reduction of city council and the reduction of their pay, which unfortunately is going to end up being on the ballot, I wish it wasn't. We really do not want that fight. That's a battle I'm not interested in, even though I don't mind battling because I'm a warrior. But that's one I like to make sure we're fighting.
Yeah, you.
We have a lot of battles that we can fight. But I am joined today by one of my dearest friends. He is currently a Cuyahoga County prosecutor, working under the leadership of Mike O'Malley. But he's been there a very long time, and you can't tell because he looks so young. I'm gonna turn over to so folks can see you on Facebook. His name is Rick Bell. Say hello to everyone, Rick.
Hi everyone. How are you?
You got your audience on the radio and on Facebook, and their folks are listening. Rick Bell, tell us who you are and why you're here today.
Well, I am an assistant county prosecutor. I'm running for judge.
Yes, you are.
Aaron, we've known each other for, I don't know, has it been over 20 years?
It's had to be over 20 years. Well, I'll tell you what, when we both met each other, we both had hair.
We did?
I have to put hair on.
You still have a little bit
no,
more.
No, that's not, that's, you
is
know.
That painted
not,
on?
Yeah, that's painted. That's not real hair. But I would tell you, but it just makes me look good. That's why I keep it on. I will tell you, it has been a long time. And sometimes you get to know people. I'm telling you, to my audience here, our audience, and sometimes people come in your pathway that just are there to stay. And Rick Bell is one of those persons. I really appreciate him. I know Rick personally, and he is now ascending, which I think he should have done years ago, ascending to become a judge in Cuyahoga County, and it is his time. I think it was your time at least 10 years ago, Brother Rick.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, it is definitely your time now.
Well, you were always pushing me, Eric.
Yeah, absolutely. But, absolutely.
I will always be there for you.
Oh, I appreciate
always,
that.
Always, always. You talked about battles. You talked about being a warrior. And
right.
We've been through our wars together.
That's
in
right.
The foxhole, we call it. Together.
Absolutely.
So I remember our first case that we tried together.
Yes.
Probably tried a few. I know that you have a story that I threw you to the lions and let you on your first case.
Oh yeah, that's my favorite story.
Yeah. But I'm going to tell you your audience a better one even.
Okay.
So I'm going to start off by saying that we had a murder case together, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
And in this case had been tried twice. And
been tried twice.
A woman who had killed her babies. She had tied
yes.
them up.
Yes.
She had burned down the house with them in it for their life insurance.
What's her first name? And then the last name was Garcia.
Garcia.
Was it Angela?
Angela Garcia.
Angela Garcia.
And and had been tried twice and hung. Mm-hmm. And Aaron came to my rescue. He came into my office and he said, I was the new prosecutor on the case. He said, I want to try that case with you. And I said, you bet. You bet I could use all the help I can get. And Aaron, you eventually did the closing argument on that. But we had a hard, hard case. That was like 6 weeks in trial.
Yeah, that was a tough case. Mm-hmm. That was a tough case.
But it was a good case, and we brought some compassion to that case. I think you and I made the jury see, you know, how evil some people can be in this world.
Some people may not know because it was so old. You know, some of our listeners, Rick, will be, hi, Colleen. Some of our listeners don't even know that I used to be a lawyer and a prosecutor because it's kind of hard to believe. But I will tell you,
yes.
Being a prosecutor, that's still in me. I really like doing that, to my surprise. Stephanie Tubbs Jones. The late Stephanie Tubbs Jones hired me, but the late Stephanie Tubbs Jones also hired you, right, Rick?
Yeah,
she
promoted me four times, and she was very kind to me.
Yeah,
she came to my rescue more than once, and I'll always remember her fondly for what she's done for me in my career. She put me on some pretty big cases, and she trusted me to do a good job there, but. It's been a long time.
Yeah, you know, times are so different now than they were back then. Mm-hmm. And in those days, you know, we followed leadership.
Right.
That's just the way things were. Mm-hmm. And we should really learn how to do that now. And I'll tell you else, who else was working in that office when mm-hmm. Stephanie was there. Marsha Fudge. Marsha Fudge was also a prosecutor at that time. Mm-hmm. So I would actually go. What was her? She was an administrative person.
Yeah,
I forgot
this. She was like the
chief of staff. Chief of staff, mm-hmm. Right.
She was the first mm-hmm. assistant. Mm-hmm. Wasn't she Stephanie's
I don't think
first
she
assistant?
Was the, no.
Was
she wasn't the first.
Carmen.
And, yeah, mm-hmm. Carmen was, no, Carmen was over major trial.
Yeah.
But there was somebody else who was, but she was a very high in administration, mm-hmm. Marsha Fudge was, and I used to go in her office just to talk. She's mm-hmm. just so cool. And we things were just so different. I mean, when I came to Cuyahoga County, you knew there was a way of doing things, mm-hmm. you know, and that has unfortunately drastically changed. I think our audience heard another voice that sounds a lot better than Rick and I's.
Oh, yeah.
All right, that's Colleen Reale. She has now joined us. Say hello to everyone, Colleen.
Hi, folks. How's everybody?
All right, you've got your Facebook Colleen. Audience and the audience on the radio.
Hello.
Colleen Reale is also a friend of mine who I've known from the prosecutor's office. I guess this is Aaron Phillips' friend day.
Yes, it is.
To know, let people know I used to be a prosecutor. I'm not sure if I want people to know that, though. But at any rate, you guys are here. They have done a fantastic job. Colleen's an excellent lawyer. Mm-hmm. And unlike Rick, who is still in the prosecutor's office, Colleen, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I am a magistrate now in the domestic relations court. So that handles, that's the divorce court. And we handle a lot of child custody issues. I've been a lawyer for 22 years. I was with the prosecutor's office for 14 years. I had the pleasure of working with Aaron. He was my very first office mate. Mm-hmm. And he,
poor you.
he was such a wonderful dresser. I'll never forget it. He always looked so great in his suits, perfectly turned out, and a great lawyer. And so that was a lot of fun. And then I left the prosecutor's office about 5.5 years ago, and I joined Judge Francine Goldberg at the Domestic Relations Court, and I'm a magistrate there now, and I love it.
And you're very experienced, and so you all are not, I know this, but you all are not running against each other, correct?
No.
All right, different, totally
no
different,
way.
Races,
different races,
different things,
races.
And I want to talk about you all a little bit more. We're taking a break. You guys might can't hear that. That's the music coming on. We're coming right back. And we're going to talk about our candidates who are here today, and then I'm going to go back to talking about city council reduction. But you can give us a call, 216-578-1490, 216-578-1490. You're listening to The Issues, the People, and the Community with your host, Pastor Aaron Phillips, and I have my sidekick here today, Shantae Lewis Gibson. All right, you'll hear from us on the other side of this break.
Yo, up. What's up with all this paperwork and all these calculators? It looks like an office in here.
Oh, nephew, you know Uncle Earl always got a plan. I stay working. It's time for folks to get their income tax, and I'm helping them out to send them right over to North Coast Auto Mall to get them a new whip. That's what you say, right?
Man, I ain't even think of that. Easy money for a down payment, but I don't really have a big refund coming back.
Nephew, I done told you. You don't need a lot of money down with North Coast Auto Mall. All you need is 99 cents. And North Coast Auto Mall has everything from Toyotas to Hondas to sports cars and SUVs. The biggest selection around for any credit situation. You can go to any of their three locations on Brook Park in Parma, across from Chapel Hill Mall in Akron, or right on the Bedford Auto Mile near Broadway and Rockside. Or pick up the phone and call 1-800-NEXT-CAR. It's just that simple, knucklehead.
All right, just help me with my forms and I'm gonna get them a call as soon as I get my cash back.
North Coast Auto Mall. It's your money. Use it for the ride you've always wanted. 1-800-NEXT-CAR.
99 cents down. For example, amount of finance equals 9,000. APR rate 24.9. 48 monthly payments of $297 and 1 cent upon approved credit.
Sometimes we forget that the funeral is for the living. It is the last visible viewing and celebration. But for those of us in the industry, it is a time for our experience and excellence to shine. At R.A. Prince Funeral Services, our expertise in different cultures, economics, and family blend makes us stand out in helping to meet the trust and faith you have placed in our hands. We know it is paramount for us to ease the burden and release the pressure of this time of need. Let R.A. Prince Funeral Services meet with you and take the worry out. Call us at 216-518-1777. That is 216-518-1777. R.A. Prince Funeral Services, for such a time as this.
The Ricky Smiley Morning Show, the most funny in the morning. It's the Ricky Smiley Morning Show.
All right, Tuesday on the Ricky Smiley Morning Show, Gary got the tea and the clue of the day. And Special K got news you positively absolutely cannot use. You know, you definitely don't want to miss that. All that and more, Tuesday on the Ricky Smiley Morning Show.
It's the Ricky Smiley Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on News Talk 1490 WERE and streaming live at newstalkcleveland.com.
It's the Ricky Smiley Morning Show.
Hi, I'm Amine. Sometimes starting a conversation with a friend about mental health can feel awkward, but your support can make a huge difference. You know your friends best, so if you feel like something's wrong, trust your instinct and reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy.
News Talk Cleveland, 1490 WERE Cleveland Heights, WZAK HD3 Cleveland, and streaming live at newstalkcleveland.com.
We're back with the issues of people in the community. I'm your host, Pastor Aaron Phillips. I'm the senior pastor of Sure House Baptist Church, located at 11318 Miles Avenue, the Church of the People. We're there every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. You're looking for a church to go to for Super Bowl Sunday? Sure House is a place for you to be, because you'll be out of church by 11 o'clock. You'll have plenty of time to get ready for the game. That's one of the chief reasons why we have service at 9 o'clock now.
Do you have big screen TVs there too?
Yeah, we don't have no big screens. We don't have, because we're going to be out. We're going to be out of there in time enough to go home and get everything done.
All right.
We used to do Super Bowl parties when we first started, and I just said forget that. That's too much work. I want to just enjoy the game, and not host the game. Yeah, and I'll tell you, if we didn't have our service is 9 o'clock anyway. But even if it wasn't, I think I would change it to 9 o'clock for Super Bowl Sunday,
for that day,
because I am an adamant football fan. But we want to invite you to come and join with us. I want to get right back to our candidates here, Colleen Reale. And Colleen, tell us a little bit about the Domestic Relations Court, because that may be the most court that most folks aren't familiar with, and why is that so important that we have good, solid judges in Domestic Relations Court?
So domestic relations court is where families come when they're in crisis. And unfortunately, a lot of families, we see a lot of families break up over time. And it really affects people from all backgrounds. It doesn't matter if you're rich or you're poor. It doesn't matter what your ethnicity is. It doesn't matter what your race is. It all that matters is that you're having a difficult time. Your family is having a difficult time. You're fighting about your kids and your property and your whole life. And it really touches at the heart of what is so important to all of us. It's our whole lives. And so when people come to our court, they really need folks who know what they're doing, who understand the law, who have a good temperament and implement the law fairly, you know, someone who is balanced and principled, and someone who has a heart, someone who treats people with the dignity and respect that they deserve. I don't care if you're worth $30 or $3 million. I treat everyone exactly the same. If that's all you've got, it's important to you. And when we're fighting over our children, we're in crisis and we're troubled over what's happening with our families and our home is breaking up, that's a really, people have a really visceral reaction and they are in crisis. And we need good judges with big hearts who treat people the way they'd want to be treated in our court. And that's what I aim to do every single day.
I bet you see a lot of folks who are pro se defendants or pro se plaintiffs in the domestic relations court. Is that true?
Yes, that's the single biggest factor that's affecting our court these days. People just can't afford lawyers or don't, you know, want to use them again after their divorce for whatever reason, and they're still back in court. And so we do have a pro se, or we call them self-represented litigants. We have that issue. It's a big issue for families, and we have to know how to help these folks while still following the law.
Right.
So
because if you're a pro se lawyer, you may not know all the rules, and you may not, things may not get in on time. Sometimes being a lawyer is just knowing and making sure you make certain deadlines. And so if they miss those deadlines, does the court give some kind of compassion for that, for pro se litigants?
So, well, the thing is, Pastor Phillips, is that, you know, we have to enforce the law, fairly for everyone, and we have to be neutral and detached. And so what I try to do is, before we even get to the part where they might be missing a deadline, we have a help center that helps them with forms and things of that nature. And I want to work on making that help center even more helpful. Self-represented litigants, it's probably the biggest thing that's facing our court these days is, as we see more and more people who are self-represented. And I just think there's a lot more the court can do to help those folks.
You have some ideas about addressing that, right?
I do.
Why don't you share some of those?
I will. And I want to say, too, that folks that, don't have a lot of money are most adversely impacted by this. So it's a lot of folks from our communities, from the city of Cleveland, and from all over Cuyahoga County that are just having a hard time. And now on top of that, they're trying to figure out how to go forward with their lives with less money and having all these problems. Yeah. So I'd like to make the help center more helpful. I'd like to have I'd like it to be staffed with attorneys.
Oh, yes, attorneys. That's a good idea.
We need attorneys in the help center. I'd like to have it so that the folks don't just get help with forms, but they're actually getting the right advice so that when they finally get to the judge or magistrate, that we can actually help them get what they need.
And it's there for everybody, because I feel like domestic relations, it's like everybody's not bad. They just need a balance. So I think that's a really good idea
to have a lawyer in there for the help center, because it can kind of give better guidance to someone and let them know so they keep them from missing some deadlines. That's really important.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it's right now it's staffed by the court, and we're in and I want to applaud the court for what they've done thus far. The judges, they've done a great job just implementing a help court. We didn't have a self help court. We didn't have that before.
Right.
So that's a really wonderful thing. I just think there's ways that we can do it better.
And you probably could promote it better. Do people really know that the help center exists? Do y'all How do I find out about that?
It's on our website, and when you get into court, we've done better about putting signs up to let people know to go there. The staff also tells folks about the help center. But like I said, I think it could be more helpful. I think we need probably maybe a couple of divorce attorneys that are retiring that would train some younger lawyers to do it. I think fund that because in the end, our staff in the help center are not attorneys. They cannot give legal advice.
Right.
And just giving someone a form to fill out doesn't always get them the help that they need.
Right.
So I want to just make it, like I said, more helpful. The other thing I'd like to see implemented is a financial literacy course. We have parenting courses, which is great, and they're really wonderful, and I'm on the parenting course committee to make sure that we're getting the folks the courses that they need. But when you're splitting up a household, now folks have to live on two separate in two separate households with the same amount of money. Mm-hmm. And that's really hard to do.
Yes, it is.
And so, you know, we have to make sure that folks know how to live post-divorce.
Very well said. Now, I wanted to make sure that people know about your initiatives. You're soon to be Judge Bell. Tell us about some initiatives you want to work on as a Common Pleas Court judge.
Yeah.
And make the distinction between a Common Pleas Court judge and domestic relations judge.
Okay. Well, first and foremost, one's across the street, right? One is right. At the Justice Center where the jail is, where you probably don't ever want to be, and you also don't want to be in divorce court, just across the street at the old courthouse, that beautiful
building is where they have domestic relations.
That's right.
And I always thought that was weird. Yeah. Because why would you go to the beautiful court, you know, beautiful building to get divorced? You go to the ugly building for that.
We don't want
to
bring the other building. We don't want Let's
lift them both up.
But yeah, that's a good point.
That's one of the things. That's the common theme between Colleen Rialli's campaign and Richard Bell, my campaign. What we want to do is to lift up the services that are being provided. I think the problem that we have is people don't have confidence in the court system.
That's very true.
And
very true.
I've seen it over 25 years. We have some disparity, and we have to address that. And some people think it's a perception, but other people say, hey, perception's reality,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
And if you have some people being sentenced to longer periods of time than other people, it's just not fair.
That's
okay?
Right. That's
and
right.
We have to be fair about this. So one of the things that the Sentencing Commission for the Supreme Court of Ohio and some judges are starting to push is a database where you can actually see what the sentences are for people. So you can look at it and you can say, okay, here's a robbery, okay, and here's another robbery for a different judge. Mm-hmm. Are they proportional? Mm-hmm. Are they consistent?
That's innovative.
Okay, so why would one person get 2 years and another person 20 years?
Yes.
Well, maybe the facts are different, you know, but maybe we ought to know about that a little
innovative.
Bit more. So transparency is one of the things that I want to make sure that we do so we can show people that we're trying to be as equal as we possibly can. And in my courtroom, I intend to do that. I intend to keep track of all of those sentences so people can actually take a look at it afterwards and say, he's doing a good job. Or wait, I don't think he's doing a good job.
Right.
That's very, very important. And then the other initiatives that we're talking about are the jail, right?
Yes.
We've got to get that thing cleaned up. 2 years ago, we had all those deaths, okay?
And what role does the judges play in that?
Well, the judges, although they don't control the jail itself, they control how long their people, the inmates, the defendants, are on their dockets.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they can look in on them, and they can see whether or not they have mental health issues or drug addiction issues, and they can weigh in on this physical plant. You know, they're talking about rebuilding it. They want to build a new justice center. Well, are we really going to have a bigger jail? I think that we should have a smaller jail. Mm-hmm.
Okay? Right.
Because if you don't build it, they won't come, right?
That's right.
I think that we have to start thinking of innovative ways to treat people. So if you have centralized booking, which is another big thing that people are talking about, that you triage the mental health patients that need help,
where they need to go.
You triage the drug addicted people, instead of just sending them to the jail to decide and let them languish and stay in there for a long time, take them to centers where you can actually see if there's a problem before you send them to the jail and triage that. And I think that's very, very important.
All right, there's the music. We've got to take a break because we got to pay these bills. So we're taking a break, but we're coming back. I wanted you all to talk about your initiatives. I want to get to talk about some more specific things that you can do. as a domestic relations judge and a common police court judge. We're here with the issues, the people in the community. I'm your host, Pastor Aaron Phillips, and we have in the studio with us two fantastic judicial candidates. This is our last time talking to judicial folks, I should say political candidates, before the primary election. So we want to make sure you all know who these folks are. Richard Bale and Colleen Reale, and you're going to be seeing them all over the city of Cleveland. And I want to talk about the fact that the Congresswoman has endorsed both of you when we come back. But I wanted folks to hear about your initiatives. And that's one of the main reasons that she endorsed you and one of the main reasons that we support you. You're listening to Issues of People in the Community. Give us a call. You want to talk to Richard Bale or Colleen Reale. They're right here in the studio, 216-578-1490. You can also check us out on NewsTalkCleveland.com. You'll hear from us on the other side of this break.
NewsTalkCleveland.com.
One in three adults has prediabetes. One in three. That means it could be you, your football buddy. Your football buddy. Or you, your best man. Your worst man. You, your dog walker. Your cat jogger. While one in three adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. That's doihaveprediabetes.org.
Wait, did they just say one in three adults has prediabetes? That's 33.33333% of adults. That means it could be me, my boss, or my boss's boss, or me, my favorite sister, or my other sister. That's seven members of my 21-person romantic book club. Wait, the one in three could be me, my karaoke partner Carol, or my karaoke enemy Jeff. I'm going to take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
This is Al Jones, boxing enthusiast. Tune in to In the Ring with Al Jones, Tuesdays from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern on 1490 WERE. We will be bringing you the best in boxing with up-and-coming amateurs, hot prospects, current champions, and the legends of the game. Don't forget, 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern, In the Ring with Al Jones.
Sometimes we forget that the funeral is for the living. It is the last visible viewing and celebration. But for those of us in the industry, it is a time for our experience and excellence to shine. At R.A. Prince Funeral Services, our expertise in different cultures, economics, and family blend makes us stand out in helping to meet the trust and faith you have placed in our hands. We know it is paramount for us to ease the burden and release the pressure of this time of need. Let R.A. Prince Funeral Services meet with you and take the worry out. Call us at 216-518-1777. That is 216-518-1777. R.A. Prince Funeral Services, for such a time as this.
1490 WERE Traffic.
Good evening. This traffic update sponsored by GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. As we take this final look at the roads for your evening commute in Highland Hills, we have reports of a vehicle fire on Green Road between Chagrin Boulevard and South Woodland Road. Use caution if you're traveling in that area. We also have reports of an accident involving three vehicles going southbound Tiedemann Road just south of 480. In North Royalton, if you're traveling north or southbound Valley Parkway, the traffic lights are working incorrectly at Ridge Road, so use this intersection as a four-way stop. Whether you rent or own, GEICO makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard, so get a quote at GEICO.com. Easy. I'm Lorenzo Ware on Cleveland's News Talk 1490 WEREAM, the People Station.
Territory fighting up.
All right, we're back with two wonderful candidates for judicial seats, one in domestic relations court and the other one in common pleas court. This is a part of our voter education, because once you get registered, you need to know who to be voting for. And what I always tell people, Shante, don't just vote for the president. You got to go on down, all the way down, and vote for all those other people. And I think judges are last. Is that right?
Yes.
Am I right about that?
The local stuff is last.
Well, the judges are even past the local people. So if there's a state representatives that are being voted for, like Stephanie House, those folks are being voted. They'll come up after all of... The judges are on the last of the ballot. And that's why when you get to voting, they call the thing, what is that called? Under and over about this. Many people who vote for the top of the ticket, but then don't vote the rest of the ballot.
It's drop off.
It's a drop off. Yeah. So we have to, and they actually calculate for that. That's one of the reasons why we take the time out to explain to people. Because you'll actually have more contact, or likely to have more contact with the with a judge than you would with the president of the United States. Right? So
why would you know so much? So you got to
make sure you get
the ballot.
Right.
Yeah, you don't want to stop until you ring the bell.
Ring the bell.
And you keep it real with reality.
Ring the bell and keep it real. I like that. That's good. That's good. Yeah. Y'all been in the neighborhood.
Yeah,
that's good. That's good. I like that, though.
That's
so important for us to do that. And the congresswoman, our congresswoman, who I love and respect, I cherish her for multiple reasons, but she is the highest elected official in the African-American community. And she made a decision long before any of the Democratic Party did to endorse both of you all as candidates, correct?
Yes, and we're very blessed and thankful for her faith in us.
Yes, and, you know, I've seen a horrible article. And this is why I don't like the city council reduction thing going on the ballot. I heard a horrible article talking about our congresswoman didn't endorse any African-American candidates. And that's just a horrible thing to even say, because that just kind of invokes race war. Mm-hmm. And we don't want that. That's
and
the last thing that we need to know. And people need to know. And there's a couple of reasons. Let me be clear about this. One of the things is you got to have some African-American candidates. Okay, to endorse, and we don't have enough African-American candidates, in particular, not enough African-American men. Mm-hmm. Some of the brothers of mine who are lawyers, they make too much money to want to take a pay cut to become a judge. Mm-hmm. And I don't really blame them. You know, I understand that, because you got to be there. You know, well, if you're a lawyer, you got to be there 9 to 5. That's the part I really don't miss about being a lawyer. You got to be there 9 o'clock in the morning, all day, all that stuff. But it's hard to get... an African-American candidate, period, is particularly African-American male. And so that's not on the congresswoman. We should be grooming and gleaning people for these elections. But secondly, one race where there's an African-American, there's two. And why would our congresswoman, and I feel the same way, because I love both of those candidates. I know them both very well, and I'm not going to get in that. Mm-hmm. You know, and we've had them both on the radio broadcast. Mm-hmm. So that's how she feels. So she, you know, let the people decide. She didn't want to weigh in on that. Mm-hmm. And that's the real reason. The other reason was the other young lady who's a candidate wasn't qualified, just showed up to the party. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to reward people who've been here, who've been in the trenches with us, who've been fighting for us and standing with us. And that's what the congresswoman did when she endorsed these two candidates.
And I just want to chime in and say, as a minority, I feel like it's always less of us anyway. So I've noticed that I always just have to pick the better. I have to do my research on who's the better candidate.
Right.
I've had my own woes in the justice system, and I was blessed to have a grounded judge who saw things the way that they were for me.
That's right.
So that is how I look I look at Rick Bell when I go through his resume, because I've done it. And same thing with Reali. Mm-hmm. She's a little spicy. But she is just really a doll, you know. She's she's a good person, and she understands family, and she cherishes those things. And so for me, when I think about, you know, again, I have to bring that to point, being a minority, I have to really think about that the bigger picture is there are more whites either way.
Right.
And that's what is made. So I have to be, you know, I have to say, this is who I like, this is who I don't like.
And you know, the other thing to that, and I wanted Tim to chime in, but to our conversation, Shante, as the African American folks in the studio, what you and I both know is that just because you're black doesn't mean you're black.
That is,
you know what I mean? And so you just can't trust that anymore.
Yes.
I know I have been in front of judges who look like me, but they treated me worse.
Meek Mill is a great example.
Right, absolutely. Yeah,
I don't know if you guys know who Meek Mill is, but he got ran through the system by a
black woman judge.
That looks like me. And
right.
You really have to be careful when you say, I want to vote. Because I like black people. I'm black.
We love our community. We love black folks.
We love ourselves and all we have.
Yeah, we're
pro-black.
But then
at the end of the day, I got to be, I have to be fair with myself. And
you know what, Shante? Just because you're pro-black doesn't mean you have to be anti-white.
White, yeah, no.
And that's what I don't like. I don't. And, you know, just because we are supportive and we need things in our community, that doesn't mean that we want to trash and trump on the white people. That's, like, really stupid, for one.
Very true.
It's not even the right thing, the Christian thing to do. And when you have people who have committed to, and I think when we were at United Pastors and Mission, remember the congresswoman, I can't cite those names, was it Sherm? There was three white guys, the white Jewish guys who died in the civil rights movement. There's always been, there was a white priest from Cleveland who died from the civil rights. So we've always engaged the other community, and you just have to. That's just the way
it is.
And we should be unapologetic about that. Yeah. And just because somebody, so I don't want our audience or anybody else to be fooled just because these folks are from the other race that we shouldn't support them. That's crazy. I mean, that is just, we have to be more sophisticated than that.
And you have to have been in the system to understand that, or have had a woe to really understand what it means to have come out on the other side and see fairity and see those judges who, there are some good judges on that bench.
And you know,
and
I tell you,
most of them are white.
And
you
sometimes you have
to
be more sophisticated than that, Colleen. We got to know that just because we have a white person and a black person, if our congresswoman is supporting the other person who's not African American, there's a reason for that. And there's, so we have to think in long term. That's how we got to start thinking. We're too short sighted, because that means we need to follow her plan. And her plan is to uplift our entire 11 congressional district, which we're in. And I want to just say that, because I don't like the fact that I'm not racist. I'm just pro-black, but and that does not mean that I don't want to be engaged with white folks. That's just, and I hate, I don't like to see us
get
down to that denominator that thinks that we have to always support folks like that. Colleen, you want to speak to that?
I do, and you know what? I think, folks are right. Diversity is important. We should have a diverse bench. Absolutely. I mean, that is a real concern, and I don't blame people for feeling that way. And so, but I think you're right, too, that you have to dig deeper. When you look at these races, you have to, these judicial races, you have to decide, hey, if someone like Congresswoman Marsha Fudge, who has been supporting and promoting and fighting for the rights of African Americans her whole career, chooses a candidate in a judicial race full of people of all backgrounds, and she chooses the white candidate, like you said, it's for a reason, and that's because I've been an attorney for 22 years, and I didn't wake up yesterday and decide, hey, I want to be a domestic relations court judge. That sounds like a fun idea. I didn't. You know, it's too important.
I hope you didn't do that. Who would want to do that?
Yeah, right. You know, and I don't mean to be sarcastic, but, like, it is too important. I have been preparing for this role my entire career.
That's right.
And I've been working not just in the courts, but outside the courts, in all of our communities. I grew up in the city of Cleveland. My mom's an immigrant. My dad was a Union Railroad clerk. I didn't come from, a lot. I care about people, and I think that the congresswoman understood that, and that's why she supported me.
All right, you heard it for yourself. I wanted to deal with that because it needs to be dealt with, and we're coming back. We're coming back for our last 30 minutes of hot sauce. No interruptions, 30 straight minutes. I want to get all this in. Give us a call, 216. I know I'm giving you a lot today. 216-578-1490. 216-578-1490. We got to make sure we give them the information about the Cleveland Clergy Coalition stuff. All right, you'll hear from us on the other side of this break, y'all.
Like never before, we're waging war.
I'm tired of principalities messing with me.
The proceeding was a paid program brought to you by Cleveland Clergy Coalition. The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station or its management. News Talk 1490 WERE, Cleveland Heights, WZAK HD3, Cleveland.
Sometimes we forget that the funeral is for the living. It is the last visible viewing and celebration. But for those of us in the industry, it is a time for our experience and excellence to shine. At R.A. Prince Funeral Services, our expertise in different cultures, economics, and family blend makes us stand out in helping to meet the trust and faith you have placed in our hands. We know it is paramount for us to ease the burden and release the pressure of this time of need. Let R.A. Prince Funeral Services meet with you and take the worry out. Call us at 216-518-1777. That is 216-518-1777. R.A. Prince Funeral Services, for such a time as this.
News Talk 1490 WERE, Cleveland Heights, WZAK HD3, Cleveland. This is a paid program brought to you by Cleveland Clergy Coalition. The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station or its management.
All right, we're back to issues and the people in the community. We have our last 30 minutes of hot sauce. We'll be back next Monday, y'all, and we're just going to keep on rolling, giving you all that good information. I want to just tie a bow, so to speak, on soon-to-be Judge Reale on this thing about we have to make sure we support folks who look like us. And we do. I want to tell you, you know, I always do. I know that's a very, very important thing. I can't wait to find a I'm hoping that our next prosecutor is going to be an African-American person. I really do. I have somebody in my brain, and it ain't me, who wants to be the that I want to have be the prosecutor. We need that. We definitely need some more African-American men on the judicial bench of Court of Common Pleas, because there's so many folks of our who look like us who come up to these things. Mm-hmm. But what's also as important, and I really want to spend time on this. When you have someone in a race and the support comes from the African American community, because we know that when you were going to get a fair shake, in spite of us being African American, from a judge that we know we've been in a relationship with. So sometimes it's even better to have a Caucasian that you know than a black you don't. You understand
Tell
what I'm
me
saying?
About that. Yes, sir.
and I would think that would be true. Because you're going to be there to support both of you. I will be supporting being sensitive. I want you to speak to that. You will be sensitive to the issues that plague the African-American community, specifically here in Cuyahoga County.
And we sort of touched on that before, Pastor. A lot of what happens in our court these days is that people come in without attorneys. And that is predominantly folks that don't have any money and are having a difficult time getting to court. And that certainly affects minorities, and it certainly affects people in the African-American community. And I think it's the biggest issue in our court today. And I think about it all the time. And I want to take steps, if I'm elected, to make sure that it's not a bigger hardship on these poor folks that are coming in to see us.
Right, absolutely.
Because think about it, you know, if you don't have a lot of money and you have to be in court and you don't know how you're going to get there, you don't have a car, you don't have money for the bus, it's expensive to get childcare. These are all concerns that affect all people, but also people in the African-American community. And I'm sensitive to that. I'm a mother. I'm a parent. And I know how difficult it is for me, who's gainfully employed, to always have childcare and I'm working.
Right.
And you add the stress of divorce to that, and you don't have anything, and you don't know how you're going to get there, and it's cold out, and you have to wait at a bus stop, and you didn't eat that morning because you don't have enough money to do it. These are the things that we should be asking all of our judges to think about, all of our elected officials to think about. It's empathy. And it really goes back to God. We have to treat people, do unto others as we'd have done to us. That's what it's about. That's what our judges need to do.
If I could vote for you twice, I would. But that's saying that. And Brother Bale, one of the things that you and I have talked about all the time is about bail reform. And that's certainly specific to African Americans.
Yes.
Can you speak to about that? How do you feel about bail reform?
It's the number one essential issue.
You got to speak directly in the mic so we can all
hear you. We've got to handle the situation where people are being treated disparately. Mm-hmm. So we have some people with lower bonds than others. Or at least that's what people think, okay? And it's important. We talked about perception. So what happens when somebody comes in and they don't have the money, okay? We have to develop a proper risk assessment tool that actually will take into account not their 20 years of their background, okay, but the last 2 years is what's really important. Whether or not somebody's not shown up for court, okay, that's kind of relevant. But if somebody did something wrong 10, 5, 20 years ago, why is that being taken into account as part of the bail? People change. People get better. People grow, and you know that they're going to show up. The number one thing why we're having such trouble is because people are being held. If you're held for more than 2 days, okay, and you work, okay, mm-hmm. you work, what happens? It's what's your boss going to do
spiral.
For you? What's he going to do to you if
fired.
You're not there for 2 days?
You're going to get fired.
That's right. You're going to get fired, and that's not right. So employment is very key. If somebody has a job, especially, and you want to get them an attorney immediately, early assignment of an attorney, so they can get back, get on bond, okay? Mm-hmm. Get out there. They're going to show up. If they have a job, they're going to show up.
Right.
And even if somebody
dirty,
doesn't show up, they're going to get brought back to you, you know? Why are we keeping so many people? We talk about mass incarceration. You
mm-hmm.
got two problems, two issues that are going on.
That's right.
One, we turned the jail into a prison,
mm-hmm.
okay? You're keeping people for a long time. So
mm-hmm.
they'll plead guilty, and then they've done their time, okay? The second thing is, if you sentence them to too long a period of time, then they're in prison for a long period of time, and that's mass incarceration. Both
right.
of those things you got to deal with as a judge. And Colleen Reale is correct. When you're talking to people, you have to know what their issues are. If somebody isn't there on time in court,
mm-hmm.
some judges immediately, you're not there at 8:30,
right.
By 8:35, they're issuing a warrant out for your
right.
arrest.
Right.
Okay? And it
right.
could be a bus stop
right.
issue. It could
right.
be child care issue. You
right.
have to be empathetic. You have to care. You have to care about the person that's in front of you. And that's the thing that we want to turn this court around. At least the court that I'm running for, the position that I'm running for, I want to make sure that it's fair and it's equal. And I think about the person as if they were my daughter. As if they were
oh.
my son.
Oh yeah,
that's the most important thing.
Oh, okay? That is the most important
Chances.
Thing. I will tell you that those are the kind of answers
mm-hmm.
that we need to hear. And listen, I can tell you one thing for sure:
mm-hmm.
there's not going to be an African American running for president,
oh.
and we're still going to be voting then, right?
Yeah, we got.
So we can't
yeah,
wait
we
for that.
That's
we can't
my point.
We can't be so pro-black when we forget that we got to include everybody. We
yes.
wouldn't Barack Obama. If he only had to depend on black folks to become president,
he
wouldn't have won.
Right.
So you've got to be able to have coalitions, especially when you're in the minority. You've got to be able to be willing to work with other folks. You know, I just was gifted to be able to do that, and
mm-hmm.
It is a gift, and I thank God for it. But we need to know, I need to make sure I'm expressing and sharing with folks, we need everybody.
Mm-hmm.
The African-American community cannot afford to exclude people when it comes to us transforming our community.
Mm-hmm.
So I really appreciate it. And you can tell how a person is going to, and I've been doing this a little while,
mm-hmm.
you can tell how a person is going to serve by how they campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that these two very qualified young candidates, because they are young, you know, Kobe Bryant was young, by the way. He's
yeah.
41.
41.
Mm. You know, and we said a prayer for
tragic.
Kobe
yeah.
so
today.
Sad.
Oh, isn't that sad? Yeah. I just
so
had to cry.
I'm
sorry,
room.
We got a call. Yeah, so we did at the top right of the top of the show, but somebody wants to talk to you guys, but we'll come back to that at the end. Go ahead, Leo, we got a call. A caller?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Go right ahead,
Hi.
Caller.
Yeah, I'm a 72-year-old Air Force veteran.
Okay.
And like you said, you need money. A lot of times you need a lawyer when you go to court. Well, some young kids attacked me about 4 or 5 years ago on my port. And they charged me with a crime.
Lord,
have mercy.
Okay.
And I talked a lot of people about this. They must be black on black crime.
Yes.
But what they want you to do is plea bargain. And why should you plea bargain when you're not guilty?
Now, when you plea bargain, you are guilty when you plea bargain. That makes you guilty. You.
I'm saying they want you to plea bargain.
Okay. So you have a question somewhere in there, sir?
Yeah, I'm saying, how do you win? You know, it's a catch-22.
Okay, all right. I understand your question. Brother Bill, you can answer that question.
There is a problem sometimes with people getting charged too high. If they're charged too high, it forces, you know, them to plead guilty to something. And when somebody is protecting themselves on their porch, that's called self-defense. Mm-hmm. And there's a new self-defense now. It's not 4 years ago, but there's new self-defense laws that actually will make it difficult for somebody to be prosecuted when they're protecting their house, they're protecting themselves, they're protecting the people in their house on their porch.
I thought we always had the castle law, right?
Yeah, we had the castle law, and now it's actually gotten a little bit stricter. Wider mm-hmm. is a good way of putting it. So you can be at your car now, mm-hmm. Inside of your car, you have to have imminent danger, mm-hmm. but you may feel that the person is actually going to be coming after you, okay? So the self-defense laws have widened mm-hmm. to actually take into account the other person's aggression, okay, and the other person's, your ability to defend yourself, and whether or not, you don't have to, if you remember the old part of it where you had a duty to retreat, you know? That's like gone.
That's gone now?
It's wider, as you said, okay?
Okay. All right. Well, that's good to know.
We're not Florida, but people do know.
In the African, especially because we had Mike O'Malley here a couple of weeks ago, mm-hmm. and he explained to us that the most of the murders, there's like 80% of people being murdered are African American in our county, mm-hmm. and most of those folks who are murdering the
80%
of them are African American male. So it's a lot of black on black crime. So we need to make sure we are addressing that. And it's good. That's why you want to have good prosecutors. You want to have good judges. I remember several cases. The case that we were talking about earlier wasn't the only case. One of our pastor's sons, who was also a preacher, Rem Small, I'll never forget that, he was murdered. And they didn't know how to handle. I remember that. That wasn't getting handled right. And I said, you know what? I want to take that case because Pastor Smalls is a prominent pastor mm-hmm. in our community, and I want to make sure that family was taken care of right.
Justice.
And so I worked on that case, and that family, because Pastor Smalls is a pastor, and he has two other sons. You know Anthony.
I do.
The Anthony was his brother, mm-hmm. and they actually forgave the young man who killed their brother and son.
And when they came in,
this was a good thing about being a prosecutor, because when they came into court that day, I brought them up the prosecutor way. Mm-hmm. I didn't bring them up the public way, but I had better access and mm-hmm. I could give them real good treatment. And they said, oh, well, we look like you being a prosecutor, Phyllis. We thought it was something. I said, yeah, you get to. And sometimes people don't understand how important that is. I know sometimes people think that because give us those numbers, Rick. We have other prosecutors who are now judges. What is that number? Because I know that was something that was spoken in your race.
There's 34 judges on mm-hmm. the bench.
34
right?
judges total.
Okay. And only 9 of them used to be prosecutors. Okay. And
only 9?
Yeah. And then you have another set of defense lawyers, judges who used to be defense lawyers. Right. And they're at 12. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh.
And then you have 13 who were civil attorneys, okay? So it's really three groups of people.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's pretty diverse.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's fair. It's across the board, and the prosecutors don't make the best portion. Actually, they're the smallest portion.
Yeah.
But I think what's important, though, from my perspective, is how you treat your victims, okay?
Absolutely.
I have fought for women who've been raped. I lead that sexual assault kit task force.
Yes, you did.
Okay, so most of our victims are on the east side of the city of Cleveland. All those rape kits that should have been tested, that weren't tested, I had them all sent back so we can actually bring some justice for these victims and take care of the serial rapists that are out there to protect us.
Doing that. Right.
Remember that guy that killed 93 women in America, Samuel Little. Okay?
Right, right.
Okay, we solved 3 of those cases. Those women were on the east side of Cleveland. You know, you have an epidemic, you know, happening right on in the 4th district, in the 5th mm-hmm. district, and we have to address that, you know, and that's very important. I was also the prosecutor, and you know this, on the Brillo case, the case where you had to chase the police, and they shot the car up.
137 bullets.
Two people died, right. Timothy Russell and mm-hmm. Marissa
and
Williams.
That's it.
And they were both, they had mental issues, mm-hmm. okay, our victims there. And it was, we wanted to make sure that a jury actually heard the case The defense did pick a judge, and the judge is the one that actually decided the case. So.
Yeah. I'm glad you reminded me of that, Brother Rick. That's why I call you Brother Rick. Now, that I wasn't a prosecutor for that case, and I was glad that he chose to take that case on. And, Colleen, I was really upset about that whole thing. They chased those two young folks and into East Cleveland, and the Brillo jumped up on the car and just shooting at the guy, just shooting at him. Yeah,
there were 51 shots.
Yeah.
But let me tell you about the good things that came from that. Body cameras, okay? Dash cameras, okay?
Right.
By focusing in on that case and showing the perils and the dangers of a long police chase all the way from the west side of town, through the second, through the fourth, through the fifth, through the sixth, all the way out to East Cleveland.
Right.
Okay, and to another jurisdiction.
Right.
And so now we have body cameras, right, on the police, and we also have dash cameras, which is important. It
that
protects
is.
Us all, okay?
Right.
Everyone,
right.
Even the police, you know,
that's
it's
right.
all recorded. And you don't have these chases anymore like you used to have,
yeah,
right?
And I don't understand when they chase people, the people always run to East Cleveland. You know, the young girl who just got murdered because they were chasing into East Cleveland.
Yeah.
I never understood
one of our
that.
Church vans were crushed in
crushed
East
by East Cleveland. By East Cleveland. East Cleveland police.
Yeah.
Sure
chasing
was.
Another individual.
That's right. Bright Star.
Yes.
Kitty Tots.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's good to know that we can have someone who has been fighting for our cause. You didn't just start showing up fighting for a cause that it impacts.
Like Congressman Fudge has actually supported me because I've supported the community and I've supported her all the way back from the 1990s.
Now,
it was actually
be,
her
she
and
was
Stephanie Tubbs-Jones. That's
mm-hmm.
right. And they put me up for Prosecutor of the Year for the whole state of Ohio.
Oh,
and
yeah.
on what case was that? There was a white woman principal. Do you remember this? She was 52 years old. She was Jewish. She was the principal of Case Elementary School.
Okay.
And she was having sex with a 13-year-old
African-American
student.
Yeah, I remember
right?
that. I do
and
remember
so
that.
We had to bring attention to that, and it was a hard prosecution. But
yeah,
that
that's
was
when
one
it
of
was
the
really
reasons.
Was a. That mm-hmm. was before. That I like there was a trend-setting case. I forgot about
yeah,
that.
Right.
That started where the female teachers were raping the boys.
Yeah, what happened then? All
yeah,
of a sudden,
and
it like spread across the country.
You had
everybody
folks doing that.
That's not
and
good.
It was. I actually forgot about that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's why Stephanie supported me. Marcia supported me, and I support their candidates, mm-hmm. all of their candidates over the course of all.
Now
these
you
years.
Now you also was an elected official. You've been elected official already, right?
That's right. I was the councilman in the city of Solon,
mm-hmm.
in charge of public safety, public works, the senior center. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I was appointed
they have
and
a
then
beautiful
elected.
Senior center.
How many council great. People are in the city of Solon?
There's seven of us.
Seven,
and then I left because remember the rule changed. You couldn't be a prosecutor and a councilman. I actually agreed with that rule. I was okay with that rule. So
I wasn't.
You know,
I never was.
No,
I never.
Well,
you want a double dip?
Yeah.
No, it's not double dipping. It's not double. If you can be a council person, especially in Solon mm-hmm. at night, and be a prosecutor during the day. Most of those
right.
council people have another job, right?
Yeah,
that's not. They're
that's
not
right.
like City of the Cleveland council
no,
people.
No, there's
okay.
a lot of good
yeah.
people. You know
yeah.
what? I guess the reason why I was good with it was for this reason. The prosecutor's office was getting some flack for people saying that maybe we weren't, there's a conflict of interest. And if it helps the juries be more confident in our justice system, then I'll give up that second job. Mm-hmm. That the office and the job and doing justice was more important for that. But, mm-hmm. you know, I enjoyed
well,
doing
said.
That.
Me
I helped a lot
too,
of people.
Probably.
I helped
well,
a lot of older
well
people. And it was a good job. It was a good job to have. But since then, I'm back and I'm solving.
So now you were hired by Stephanie. You were hired by Stephanie. Then you worked under Bill Mason,
mm-hmm.
and then you worked under McGinty.
Tim McGinty.
And now you're still working on O'Malley. So
can you imagine getting along with Tim McGinty and Michael O'Malley?
That's a what a studded career.
You have to work hard.
What about
hard.
You, Colleen? Now who did you come in? You started working with Bill.
I was one of Bill Mason's first hires.
That's what I remember.
And then I worked for Tim McGinty. And then,
then you got the heck
then,
out of here.
And then Frankie Goldberg won
yes.
over in domestic relations. We had been in major trial division together, so I prosecuted a lot of high profile cases as well, and certainly enjoyed the work and loved trial work. And Frankie asked me to come over to the domestic relations court. I thought, I don't know if I'm going to like this. I thought I would be a career prosecutor. I really like being up in the courtrooms. Okay. You know, I didn't care about, I don't care about money at all. And obviously, or I wouldn't have stayed there forever.
Right.
So I liked the work and I went to domestic relations court and I've never looked back. I absolutely love it. It combines trial work with my love of family. And I think also I had my daughter right around the same time. She's 6 years old. Her name is Caroline and she's the love of my life.
Hey, Caroline.
And yeah, she's the best. And she's my reason for being. And I think it just worked out so perfectly because I really treat the folks who come into our court how I'd want to be treated if, God forbid, my husband and I were having troubles.
Right. And your husband is also is a public servant. What does he do?
He is. He's a homicide detective for the city of Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He worked so hard. He was up all last night. He got a call. He got home from work at midnight, and he went back at 12:30. Right. Unfortunately, there was a homicide, and he worked all day until 4 o'clock. So I would imagine that he's sleeping now.
Yeah. Sure. Well, homicide detectives are one of the hardest working jobs, and especially if they're in trial. I remember we would work those detectives like crazy, mm-hmm. and like they were our own private detectives sometimes, mm-hmm. and they did a very good job. So, kudos to your husband, and that's a kind of well-rounded person that we have in you. Now, Rick, you're also married. Let's talk about what does your wife do?
My wife's a dentist.
She's a dentist. Yeah, she's a heap of smart.
Andrea Bell. Okay.
Wow.
You have beautiful teeth.
Thank
yes,
you.
She does.
Thank you.
But Andrea Bell, and we have four children.
Four children.
And their little girl on the front end was Rachel. Mm-hmm. And then Rachel, after her, is Jillian with a G. Mm-hmm. Then Olivia. And then my boy, Christian. Okay.
Gotcha boy.
Oh.
Christian. And he's a CJ, we call him, and he is he's fantastic.
He's in college now, right?
He just started college.
Right.
He really
started
a year too young.
Earlier.
He got in early. But
that's good.
He's smart.
But they've helped
good.
Me. And just as Colleen was saying, we've had a lot of long nights, mm-hmm. okay? Long nights away from our families in order to do our jobs. I remember one night coming home at 2:30 in the morning because we had solved the Gloria Poynter case. Yvonne Poynter.
Yvonne Poynter's daughter.
Her daughter, Gloria, was killed way back in 1984.
Yeah.
And
right.
we were staying up late trying to find some more DNA evidence and found some DNA evidence. And I'm grateful for her support in this campaign, too.
Yeah,
those are the cases that I'm working on now. All those cold case murders, all those cold case sexual assaults. Because you can help so many people with those that thought that this justice system wasn't fair to them.
Yeah.
And you can go back on those old cases and now bring back into their lives, you know, something that's resolved. It makes their lives better. And I think that's really important, okay?
That is. Well, I think it's so important. I tell you guys that the people want to know not only are you qualified to do the job, but about your background, how you connected to the community. I think to me, and I think to most people, I think Shantae would agree with me, they're more concerned about that. Obviously, you're qualified because you can run. So I want to know more about you personally because those are the things that's going to make a difference when you're making those decisions when people are in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what kind of, you know, you're going to want you to be thinking about your child or your situation you're in. And
For sure.
All do that. And it's just a joy to finally have some good quality people getting on the bench. I told them, Bo Shantae, I wasn't even going to be thinking about the judicial races this year because for the year prior to, we didn't have a lot of good candidates. We just didn't.
Okay.
And you just never know, but we do have some good candidates this cycle.
I agree.
We do,
And working with him, I have to learn.
You have to listen to him, right?
Yeah.
Well, one of the things
listen,
that we really
learn too, yes.
We got some good news today. We got the highest ratings.
Oh yeah, we should talk about that. There
we got
are
the highest ratings. Judge for yourself, and you can look it up.
judgeforyourself.com.
And we got excellence,
and who is lots of tell everybody who Judge for Yourself is. So
Judge for Yourself is the different bar associations, right? And so they all come together. It's a real rigorous process to address what you're talking about, Pastor Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
It's a process to make sure that people who are running for judge are qualified. And you can be excellent, or you can be good, or you can be satisfactory, or you can be adequate, or the lowest rating is not recommended, you know.
Right.
And we were excellent. We had four bar associations rate each of us excellent. The Asian American Bar Association, the Cuyahoga County Defense Lawyers Association, mm-hmm. who we work with quite every single day,
right.
and also the Cuyahoga Metropolitan Bar Association as well.
And the Northern Miners, and the Miners part of that, right?
Yes, and we got good recommendations from them as well, and the Ohio Women's Bar gave us excellence as well.
That's
so
right. okay.
We are both in our races the most highly rated candidates in both of our races.
See how smart the congresswoman is? She knew that.
She picked it.
That's right. She knows what she's doing, and that's why we just need to just follow her leadership. And pastors do that. I mean, the pastors have no problem following our congresswoman. You all were there at the meeting, and she said, I didn't even know y'all were coming, but yeah, stand up, candidates. So, yes, but, you know.
And peer review is so important, Aaron. You know, it's Pastor Phillips, it's so important because most people don't come to court, right? Hopefully,
right.
you know, this is,
That's
this,
right.
they're not spending every day at court.
That's a good point.
So the bar associations are the folks that practice in front of us who really know us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I'm a magistrate, so that's sort of
lawyers.
Like a judge. So
right.
these lawyers that are sitting in there, they practice in front of me. They know my style. They know if my temperament is good or not. They know if I follow the law, if I know the law. They know how I treat the litigants and how I treat the lawyers. And they're the ones saying, hey, she's excellent. She has the right temperament for this judge. Keeping it real with reality.
Yeah, that's a very good point, because the more I think about that, so you have the congresswoman saying these are our people because they support my community, because that's exactly what she said. If I'm supporting somebody, it's because they're supporting my community. And then you have the experts the lawyers, mm-hmm. the Bar Association, saying these are the best qualified candidates because they know the law, they're going to follow the law. So you got to come from both sides, and
that's
I think about that is terrific.
Terrific.
And we need to make sure that we get that literature out. I hope you guys got your literature coming, and
tomorrow.
We'll have some folks that we will be passing out stuff. We got to be at War 2 tomorrow. It's just very important that I wanted the folks to know that we're going to, when they see you guys, they're seeing us, that we thank God for the congresswoman, for her giving you support, and we're going to do all we can to support her in the candidates that she has selected, because she knows what she's doing. And I pray for her all the time, because she's got to mm-hmm. be up there in D.C., I wouldn't want her job. Do I have a caller there, Leo? We're going to take this last caller. Were they there already? Okay, thanks,
and
Leo.
Brood of vipers there that she has to deal with.
Yeah, that is crazy. Mm-hmm. And I'm watching that stuff on TV, the impeachment trial. I don't know what that is. But do they want it? Ready? I'm ready for the caller, Leo. Yeah, we can take this as a last call because we got to go. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, caller.
Okay. Hello. So this is the Rick and Colleen, correct? You're the two candidates?
Yes.
Have you ever made what you know to be a legal error that costs that you needed to go back and correct? And can you tell me what it was and what you learned from it?
I don't know if we have all that kind of time, but thank you for the call. Take about 20 seconds because we're going to run out of time.
I'm gonna say that there are times when you go home after being in battle where you think to yourself, should I have asked that question? Should I have done that? Did I really need to go that hard in court? I've learned from my younger days to now. And so I would say it's a very good question. I didn't ever make like a technical error mm-hmm. that was wrong in the court, because I never wanted to be overturned.
But I have
looked at things and said, you know what, I could do that better. Mm-hmm. And so I would always write on the back of my trials, I would write a note that says, okay, what did I do that I could have done better?
Colleen, I'm sorry.
Okay. As a magistrate, my very first trial that I presided over, I definitely look back and think that I made some mistakes. Nothing that was an error necessarily or that was overturned, but it's a work in progress. Temperament and legal decisions and how you treat the lawyers and the litigants, all of that is something that we have to work on every single day. And so anybody that is wearing a robe and making decisions that says they do it all right and it's perfect right. all the time,
they're not accurate.
We are constantly trying to improve and
all
constantly
right.
trying to be better.
I gotta go. I'm sorry. We have to go. This is getting so good. Of course, people make mistakes. That's why we call you people.
Yeah.
But we thank God that you're willing to learn and you're willing to own it and say, I'm going to do better. Thank God for you guys.
And don't forget to vote all the way down
the
ticket.
Down
and don't stop until you ring the bell.
Ring the bell.
And
and get it real with reality, and you're going to see him on a regular basis. God bless you. Love you, Cleveland.
We got to get out of here,
but we will be back next week. We start a new month. God bless you, Cleveland. We love you. The issues of people in the community. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
The proceeding was a paid program brought to you by Cleveland Clergy Coalition. The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station or its management. News Talk Cleveland, 1490 WERE Cleveland Heights, WZAK HD3 Cleveland, and streaming live at newstalkcleveland.com. Carolina.